Hello, and welcome to Who's Funding This Podcast? I'm your host, Doug Terranova.
And I'm your other host, Maddie Bird.
Hey.
Who is funding this podcast?
That's the question that we're trying to uncover. This is a mystery podcast.
We have to go through all of the conspiracy theories in order to answer this one question.
This one question. Who is funding this podcast? For those of you who are first now, just what? Tuning in. I had a stroke. This is a podcast by two somewhat skeptical comedians looking into various conspiracy theories from around the world and throughout history. Maddie, what are your thoughts on conspiracy theories?
My thoughts are, and I remain skeptical. Mm-hmm. I am a believer, and I continue to believe that the simplest explanation for something is likely the explanation for that thing.
Yes.
However, you know, even just this quickly, this early on in our journey of going through these conspiracy theories, I'm open.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
How about you?
I would say, yeah, same. I believe that it's more often ineptitude than malignant plans that lead to some of these things that conspiracy theories are born from.
Yes.
But I would say, yeah, even this early on, I can see how conspiracy theories happen. There are weird things, right? I don't know about you, but doing research for this, I'm just going to, throughout this podcast, give updates on what research for this podcast is doing to my algorithm.
Tell us more.
I'm noticing things.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody, this is not a statement about anybody or any type of belief or organization, but just what is happening, and take from it what you will. That the more I research conspiracy theories, the more ads I get for church.
That's fucking hilarious and not what I was expecting you to say.
ads for church and conservative organizations. Yeah.
Oof, yeah.
It's really fucking my algorithm.
But it makes sense. It makes sense.
It does. I'm moving around a lot right now, so I'm sorry if anybody's hearing any weird noises.
That we weren't able to edit out.
I'm sinking into the couch. It's causing me problems.
Okay. So everybody listening, mm-hmm. We're recording this. We're covered in blankies.
It's cold. Warmest cold day it's been in a while.
And this is the kind of podcast that I think is really good for curling up onto the couch, take mm-hmm. a bath, a glass of wine, yes. and just let your mind sink into madness.
Yeah. Like, you can, there's two good bath possibilities in this world. And it's either this podcast with a glass of wine, or bath and a toaster.
Okay, say it again, but you said two good possibilities.
That's it. You're either mm-hmm. going to mm-hmm. take a good bath or your last bath.
Okay. Wow, what a can of worms that is, just in and of itself. I love it. I love it. So how's your week been? Tell us more about that. Is there anything that you need to...
Everything's fine, first of all.
Okay.
Take that at face value. Now, it's been a long week, but not a bad week. It's been very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy. You know, I'm back in school, mm-hmm. and the semester started up this week, and that was a lot. Mm-hmm. And just a lot going on. Also, it's also very cold. I'm pretty upset that I got excited about 30 degree weather.
Right?
It's really rude that the weather did that to me. Like, what's happening?
Global warming. But yeah. That's another episode.
If it's global warming, why is it so cold outside? How about you? How's your week been?
If you do think that, I will give you this one analogy, and that is, how come when you have a fever, you feel cold? So
the earth has a fever.
Think about it as the earth has a fever.
And we are cold.
And we are cold. living out the earth's consciousness. but no, I would say my week was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Busy but good. I felt like you were saying earlier that you were very productive today. I feel like it was a productive week.
Yeah. I would say, agreed. Good. I'm glad. I love having a good productive week.
Yeah.
Sometimes during the productive week, that is overwhelming. But c'est la vie, you know.
After the fact, it's like, I did do that. I am a hustler.
I am hashtag hustle, hashtag grind. you know, I just wake up, I rise and grind every day.
The second my eyes open, I'm on business.
Literally, the second my eyes open, I am on a business call. I have the Bluetooth earpiece ready to go.
Yep.
My alarm goes off. I hit it. I'm in a meeting.
100%.
Yeah, immediately. What meeting? I don't know. I do hair. But
we have so many endeavors, yes. You know?
I mean, that's true, though. Like, I did have to tell a mutual friend of ours recently came to me. I think I told you. Came to me with, like, this thing she wanted to do, a project. And I was very proud of myself because I said, no, I cannot take on another project right now.
I love that for you.
Yeah, so great. My life is very full. Very rich, very full of projects. My husband hasn't seen me in a week. Like, that's, you know.
We can't do that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's no transition here. Let's talk about Havana Syndrome.
Let's talk about some conspiracies.
Conspiracy. So what, if any, knowledge or connection do you have to Havana Syndrome?
I literally don't have any. I think maybe I've heard Havana Syndrome before.
Yeah.
And it's probably because you've said it to me.
Yeah, it's fairly new in the world of history and conspiracy theories. A lot of people have not heard about it, but the people who have heard about it very deeply held beliefs about what's going on. and it is interesting. It's very interesting. I think I originally heard about it on a podcast sometime in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it was just a very interesting story and kind of always stuck in my mind. So I'm going to say verbatim with that podcast. No, I did a lot of research. But so let's just dive in. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's dive in.
So some background. What is Havana Syndrome?
Please tell me.
Beginning in 2016, U.S. state officials and diplomats in Havana, Cuba, and eventually in other countries around the world. I think there's less than a dozen countries, but they all began complaining of a mysterious illness with symptoms including headaches, sleepiness, fatigue, nausea, dizziness, mental fogginess, and irritability.
That sounds like COVID.
Also very similar to concussions, which we will get into. Most, but not all, started after the person heard a strange loud noise.
Interesting.
Yep. And this has only affected U.S. and some Canadian state officials, diplomats, people working in embassies.
In any embassy or just in Havana?
So started out just in Havana.
Okay.
And now it's in, like, Russia, Georgia, I think Thailand, Poland, several countries it's been reported.
Interesting.
But it started, and I think probably the bulk of it happened in Havana. Now, some of these symptoms were brief and then gone.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have become chronic, and people are still experiencing them to this day.
Interesting.
Some of them lasted a year, months, you know. It's kind of all over the place, but all of these same symptoms sort of cluster at these different places with federal officials.
And there's always a loud noise.
Not always.
Oh, okay.
But I would say the vast majority of cases reported a loud noise.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, okay, so to understand Havana Syndrome, we need a quick little history lesson on diplomatic relations between the United States and Cuba.
Oh, that in and of itself is fraught with conspiracy.
Yes. So, and it's really to understand the conspiracy theories surrounding Havana Syndrome and what makes it so strange.
Okay.
You need
to
understand that. Because the truth is, Havana syndrome, spoiler, no one knows. There is no one thing that any experts have agreed on about what could be causing this to this day. So okay. Starting it was 8 years ago, to this day, no one knows. Cuba, we set up our first embassy there in like early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Cold War happened. And in 1961, we shuttered our embassy in Cuba, in Havana. And that stayed that way with very little diplomatic relations due to their ties to the USSR, due to their own communism, Fidel Castro, blah, blah, blah. There were very little diplomatic relations. However, in 2015, the Obama administration, the better days, reestablished diplomatic relations with, in July 2015, the embassy reopening in Havana.
Yeah.
So by all accounts, you know, relationships might be a little rocky in part because of international mistrust that's built up throughout the decades and Russian influence in Cuba. But by all accounts, relationships were good. And some of the things that happened in that first year,
mm-hmm.
the U.S. and Cuba signed a joint statement of environmental protection.
Oh, wow.
And a memorandum of understanding on protecting marine life surrounding Cuba. For the first time, a young Cuban woman participated in the Young Leaders of America initiative in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama visited Cuba in March of 2016 in what was considered an extremely successful diplomatic visit. And the U.S. and Cuba signed an agreement to support cooperation for public health and to help with viral outbreaks such as the Zika virus, which remember the Zika virus,
okay,
which was an issue in the Caribbean at that time. So by all accounts, things are going okay in Cuba as far as U.S. diplomatic relations. However, near the end of 2016, the first person who is just known as Patient Zero, first person to experience the symptoms that later became known as Havana syndrome, reported to the embassy's health department.
Mm-hmm.
They complained of an odd pressure followed by crushing headaches and dizziness.
Okay. Yep.
This person was known as a U.S. diplomat. However, they were actually an undercover CIA officer, which is not uncommon. Frequently, I would hazard a guess most, if not all, of our international embassies have CIA officers whose cover is a state official.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
For everybody who's listening, I realized that we're not that you could not see my face, and I was making a face at this, just in shock and awe.
Yeah, yeah. but here's where it gets interesting. It's not interesting yet, but it's getting there.
Oh no!
So that happened late 2016. Patient Zero, who was a CIA officer, started complaining of Havana syndrome symptoms. By February of 2017, so just a few months later, two more undercover CIA officers, also posing as state diplomats, start complaining of very similar symptoms.
Interesting.
Now, that's three undercover CIA officers, which may not sound like much.
That's a lot.
But there are only four undercover CIA officers at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, and three of them have now come down with this mysterious illness. So there is obviously, from the federal government, from the CIA, what was considered a pretty large cause for concern. However, there's absolutely no medical explanation for what was going on. And throughout 2017, throughout 2018, and I think even into 2019, there were increased reports of Havana syndrome, but not just in Cuba. Like I said, they were all over the place. And as of March of 2023, there were over 1,000 cases reported.
And to be clear,
mm-hmm.
all of these cases, or at least the vast majority of them, are coming out of embassies.
So embassies.
Like coming out of
foreign
diplomats.
Yeah. U.S. federal buildings, overseas embassies, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And now also it's important to note Havana syndrome isn't an official medical term, right?
Right.
It is just what is like being called this like blanket term for these mysterious symptoms that people are reporting that are all very similar, to each other.
Will you list the symptoms one more time before we move on?
I would love to. Let's see. So including, but not limited to, headaches, sleepiness, fatigue, nausea, dizziness, mental fogginess, irritability. People also get an intense pressure. So the headaches.
Okay.
Or like pressure type of headaches.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. The WebMD in my mind is, it's going.
Cancer.
Were you stung by a bee?
Could be. So, several different investigations were ordered from the federal government, with some of the topics, like what it could possibly be, including, but again, not limited to, infectious diseases,
mm-hmm.
psychosis,
mm-hmm.
toxins,
mm-hmm.
and of course, international attacks from foreign powers. And we're going to look at some of these studies as we go through the conspiracy theories, but that's basically the background of what Havana Syndrome is and why it was so intriguing. One, because it's a mystery illness, but two, it seems to be solely affecting U.S., mostly U.S. diplomats and state officials, but also Canadian diplomats and state officials at a much smaller level.
Very interesting. I think yeah. I think that's the part that I find the most interesting
so far. That is the most intriguing. And so that's as we look at these conspiracy theories, I'm bringing three of what is without question many
yeah.
conspiracy theories out there. We do not have time to look at them all. So if you believe in a different conspiracy theory, feel free to reach out to us and tell us your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Because they're just, it isn't that we brush it off or anything. It's just there's only so much time in an episode.
That's true. That's true. But maybe an episode two in the future. So yeah, let us absolutely. Know if that's something that you would like.
Yeah, 100%. So let's get into our first conspiracy theory.
Please do.
So conspiracy theory number one, Havana Syndrome was the result of new and advanced sonic weaponry.
Sonic weaponry.
Fascinating. Now, I will say this is the biggest conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And one might argue the only real one on the list. The other conspiracy theories, less conspiracy, more theory.
Got it.
But this one, so it stems from the fact that many, if not the majority of Havana Syndrome patients reported hearing a strange loud noise right before experiencing their initial symptoms. Sorry. Some heard whirring sounds. Some heard chirping. One person described it as the sound of rolling marbles,
mm-hmm.
just a strange unidentified noise, and then symptoms.
Okay.
So the basis of this theory is that a foreign power, likely Russia, had developed a weapon that used microwave signal blast to disorient and cause the symptoms experienced in the Havana Syndrome.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much they like microwave signals, electromagnetic blast kind of thing.
Yeah.
So here's where that is interesting. So it is a lot of it is blamed on Russia. One, because we're America, and two, because it is in Cuba, which has a lot of Russian influence politically.
That's true.
So during the Cold War, the USSR did actually do some documented shady things with sonic technology.
Mm-hmm. But what were those, like weapons or like?
No, so they weren't, but not for lack of trying.
Got it.
For decades, they actively tried to develop sonic weaponry in what I think is the funniest spy his time in history. It's the real Rocky and Bullwinkle shit, right? Like that's basically what the Cold War was. Like
right.
Boris and Natasha coming up with different like ways to, I don't know, sabotage things. Like that's what it feels like. But what they did do, you know, they never, allegedly, never succeeded in creating sonic weaponry that anybody knows about. But what they did do in the 1950s, the USSR actually was caught sending blasts of microwave signals into the U.S. embassy in Moscow.
Interesting.
Which one I think is kind of funny that the U.S. had an embassy in Moscow. I guess the Cold War, like, wasn't a real war.
No, we were pretending that we were not at war.
We were just, like, doing stupid shit to each other.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Seeing if there was going to be a war.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like, I don't know, like, two high school girls just starting rumors about each other.
Yeah, it's the plot of Mean Girls. Yeah,
yeah, it's me. It is the plot of Mean Girls. Yeah. So they were caught sending out microwave signals to the U.S. embassy in Moscow. Here's what's funny about that. So it's widely believed that these signals were used to just simply activate listening devices to spy on the U.S. Officials, which is normal. Mm-hmm. If any government says they're not spying on other government officials, they're lying. Yeah. It's a straight up lie.
Yeah.
We do it, they do it. What's funny about it, so that became known as the Moscow signal, which is a lot of conspiracy theorists believe the precursor to the alleged sonic weaponry used to cause Havana syndrome.
Oh, wait, I have a question real fast about this situation. You said this was in the 1950s at the Moscow embassy.
The U.S. embassy, yeah, in Moscow, yeah.
And were there any reported medical phenomena at that time out of that embassy?
No. So, okay, we'll actually dive more into that in just a second.
Okay.
So, what is funny about it though, they were never stopped. The international community knew about this. Mm-hmm. Like the international spy community, the US knew about it, but they never told the diplomats, the US diplomats in Moscow about it.
That they were being spied on?
That they were getting these microwave blasts sent at them. That was probably for spies. They didn't tell them until the Gerald Ford administration decided to loop them in about the Moscow signal in 1976.
I'd be pissed.
Over 20 years. The embassy officials in Moscow obviously were like, understandably concerned about unknown medical issues that could happen.
Yeah.
So
have you seen that episode where this is gonna be such a good joke, never mind.
No,
they're paper and they live in Colorado and it's a stupid show.
I don't know.
And they killed Kenny.
Oh, South Park.
Have you seen that episode of South Park? Where one of the dads sticks his nuts in a microwave and then he gets testicular cancer.
Yes. Yeah, and he's like carrying around a wheelbarrow. Yeah.
That's what my inner vision of this is happening.
Yeah.
In Moscow, sending discrete microwave blasts.
Yeah.
That probably don't have this effect on people, but this is what I'm imagining.
So that's what they were imagining.
Right.
So a study was done in the late 70s to be like, oh no, were they hurt? And came back, they weren't hurt. But in like 2019, 2020, a researcher out of Johns Hopkins were like, well, there could, if it was prolonged like that, there could be issues from just prolonged exposure to microwave signals.
Right.
Which probably, like, especially concentrated microwave signals. Like we get microwave signals just ambiently.
Okay.
It's not, but in such small amounts, this is a concentrated. However, none of them ever reported anything like the Havana syndrome.
Hmm.
So a lot of conspiracy theorists, like I said, believe the Moscow signal precursor to alleged sonic weapons. They also point to the fact that almost all of the known cases of Havana syndrome, the symptoms begin at either a U.S. embassy or another U.S. federal government building, which is where the supposed weapons would have been aimed.
Okay.
In January of 2018, so it's going on less than 2 years still, Secretary of State at that time, Rex Tillerson, convened a review board to review security incidents involving diplomatic personnel. 2018, that would have been Trump as president, right?
Yes.
So the Trump administration 100% was like, it's Russia. Like,
yeah,
they did. Yeah, of course. However, so he convened, so Rex Tillerson convened a review board to review security incidents involving diplomatic personnel, including Havana Syndrome and possible weapons. However, in now declassified reports, this board completely botched the review. And the whole thing was, quote, marred by chaos, disorganization, and excessive secrecy, which is probably a lot less uncommon than people would like to think.
I also find that kind of hilarious,
yeah,
because we as the public are always like, everything is excessive secrecy.
Yes.
So for it to come out in an official report.
And that it's even more excessively secret.
Yes, that's hilarious.
Like, I just want to know, yeah, what was that like? They're like, okay, what did you learn? I can't tell you. What did you learn? Like,
and they're like, pit them against each other in like some weird gladiator government
shit. Yeah, the government failed in that moment. And there's a few organizations outside the government that also studied the strange sounds associated with Havana Syndrome. One I'm actually is part of my second conspiracy theory, but one study said malfunctioning surveillance equipment could be the cause of the sound, but not any symptoms. Another study found that it was highly unlikely that sonic weaponry could be used in such a way. And that to me is accurate. Mm-hmm. Like there isn't any technology that the world as a whole seems to be aware of that could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then a report, it was a non-public FBI report that had been leaked, so now public, said they found no evidence of an international sonic attack. So that's conspiracy theory number one.
Okay. So we have the 1950s, a confirmed concentration of microwave blasts sending through to the embassy.
In Moscow.
Yeah. And no reported symptoms.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the
2016
that we had our first reported patient zero case,
mm-hmm,
who did cite a blast or a so loud they, noise. They,
I don't know if patient zero did. Patient zero said there was a lot of pressure followed by dizziness. So I don't know if they heard a sound, but many of the others in Havana in that 2-3 year period reported a sound.
Okay. And the first like three people who like reported this were undercover
CIA operatives,
which of course Russia and every other country would have a vested interest
in doing something to. But why not just old school fucking shoot them?
Why not old school fucking shoot them? I suppose that is a good point, right? Like if we're gonna go back to like the simplest explanation, is probably the explanation.
Yeah,
it seems like where my brain is going.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll save this until the end. No, I won't.
Just kidding.
Where my brain is going in this, especially in the 50s, it might have been different back then, but in the 2000 and 2016, definitely not. We eat very differently.
Yes.
Here in the United States than like literally everywhere else in the whole world.
Interesting.
And so my thought is, it's honestly just an adaptation or an adjustment to the food
differences
in other places.
Okay.
Because these symptoms are not like anything other than like regular symptoms. Like, yeah, they sound like a concussion. They sound like if you have a cold. They sound like if you have COVID. They sound like if you have Zika.
Yes.
They sound like if you have like any number of ailments.
Yeah. So it could possibly be just different. So I will say that the small hole to poke in that is that the international health community has also been looking into this, medical community.
And so you would think that they would look into any kind of biological agent.
Yeah, or that if it was just a series of unrelated things that just seem related, because that's also, that is a possibility, right?
Yeah.
That it's just a bunch of unrelated things but the fact that it's happening
so many times
and to such a specific group of individuals, I think is where it gets weird.
That is true. That is true. Okay. Based on that statement, I'm actually going to give this like a 4 out of 10.
Okay. I'm going to say that, okay, I have a hard time with this because the frustrating thing is that there is no known answer, like no one official answer, because usually I can base it off of what the official thought is, right? So with this, I would say because there is no evidence of sonic weaponry like this, I'm going to say 2 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. I think weirdly enough, at first I was like a 2 out of 10, then I was like 3 out of 10, then I was like 4 out of 10.
It's building. You're believing.
I'm starting to believe. It's me. I'm a believer.
Oh my God. It's 5 out of 10 now. Oh no.
But the thing is I find the sonic weaponry very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, I mean, but you're right. If there's no like reported instance of sonic weaponry, mm-hmm. and there's no use of sonic weaponry in the United States itself, you'd think that if any military were to possess this, the United States military would figure it out.
Yeah.
And probably our police force would be using it.
Okay. So here's the thing though, I just remembered is, so this is not related to the US or Russia, but I think it was China developed a like way to dispel youths with just a really high pitched noise that hurt their ears. So it is kind of weaponized sonic stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like, and there, to say that there aren't sonic weapons is a lie. There are, but there aren't sonic weapons that do this.
Interesting. There is this one thing, and I don't really know anything about it, other than like a brief article that I read once, that if a human being is subjected to total silence, So you go into a room where absolutely every sound is completely absorbed, that the onset of symptoms sound similar, but do include like disorientation, like feelings of like paranoia, and I would assume a level of sort of like madness.
Fucking around with sound.
Can do stuff.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to go down, but I'm going to go to 3. I'm going to say 3 out of 10, moving to conspiracy theory.
I'm actually flopping a little bit. And I'm going to move up, I think, to 3 or 4. Like, because there are also instances of microwave blast being used. And even though they weren't used in such a way, the fact that you can use them and harness them means that you're at least well on your way to using it for
something
this
else.
Purpose.
Yeah. And maybe the microwave blast, if they're saying what you said that was documented in that article, was that the microwave blasts were used to essentially turn on and off or like link into whatever science listening devices.
Yes.
So couldn't that just be the same now? So there is like, I mean, that same technology, but you just turn on a sound device.
Yeah. So also, just so everyone knows, that how incohesive we sound is exactly the same as all the conspiracy theorists sound. That's like, but maybe, but like this.
But if we do this. I don't know if anybody remembers, but I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who, and this feels very like
It feels like a Doctor Who episode.
I just am listening to the sonic screwdriver in my head.
Well, that's the noise. Oh my God, that's it.
It's just the doctor.
It's the TARDIS leaving. Like, that's the TARDIS leaving is the noise.
Final answer.
Yeah. So we can stop. No. Okay. Yeah. So that's conspiracy theory number one. Conspiracy theory number two. Again, less conspiracy, more theory. The patients were all suffering from mass psychogenic illness.
Psychogenic illness.
Yes. Let me explain what that is.
Okay.
According to the National Institute of Health, mass psychogenic illness is a social phenomenon where a group of people have such high collective anxiety due to a perceived threat that they begin to experience physical symptoms, sometimes so severe it even mimics the symptoms of organ failure.
Interesting.
So it is a real thing. It's mass hysteria is basically, but mass psychogenic illness is the more official term. Uh-huh. Examples of it go all the way back to the 14th century. You can even see some examples of it in things like the Salem witch trials and things like that. In like the physical symptoms people were experiencing there. So it is a real thing. So the idea is that all of the Havana Syndrome people were experiencing that. In 2017, the first person to bring this up, not even a full year into these cases, sociologist Robert E. Bartholomew suggests that mass psychogenic illness could be to blame. Bartholomew studies mass hysteria and social panics throughout history through a sociological lens.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not alone in believing this. A lot of sociologists, a lot of psychologists are quick to point out that each of these clusters of cases involve people working in extremely high-stress jobs with very real threats of foreign disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that they are so convinced that there is a foreign threat acting on them that they are beginning to have physical symptoms.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So while you said that, so I just searched like psychogenic,
uh-huh.
and when you Google it, it comes up with psychogenic illness, psychogenic tremors, psychogenic seizures, psychogenic shock,
yep.
psychogenic non-epileptic seizures, psychogenic pain, fever, cough. And so like you said, yeah. it's a well documented.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is a very well documented thing. Okay, there's a lot of studies that are about to come into play here.
Okay.
So buckle up. We're going to talk about federally requested studies. So 2018, the federal government requested the University of Pennsylvania to conduct a psychological study of Havana Syndrome patients.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, first of all, before we go any further, the funniest choice of colleges, like, I'm not saying the University of Pennsylvania isn't great. But
like, who are they?
What the fuck? Like,
I didn't even know Pennsylvania had a college.
Yeah, was like University of New Jersey not available? Like, that's what is there? Listen, I'm not a snob when it comes to colleges. I'm going to a community college right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, were Ivy Leagues unavailable?
That is kind of like the question, right?
You went
like,
you went to a state college in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You'd expect them to be like, we went to, you know, Harvard medical school and have them do this.
Like, yeah, what the fuck?
Probably too many nepotism babies and nobody actually knows how to run an experiment.
Oh, that could be. Could you be remember the nepo when babies.
Stanford fucked it all up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stanford prison experiment fucked up Ivy Leagues getting these things forever now.
Yeah.
Probably for the better.
Probably for the better.
Yeah. Okay, so, but anyways, they requested University of Pennsylvania conduct a psychological study. And they released the study in the Journal of American Medical Association, or JAMA, as I will be calling it.
JAMA.
The study wasn't on mass psychogenic illness specifically, but a broader look at possible psychological causes of Havana Syndrome.
Mm.
So they examined 21 different federal employees who suffered from Havana Syndrome. I feel like I got to say it like in quotation marks because it's, again, not it's an actual medical diagnosis.
Yeah.
But yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. You're hip. You're probably not doctors. Maybe you are. I don't know. So the report found no evidence of issues with regards to physical anomalies in the brain, specifically to white matter.
Okay.
So that's neat. But also found no cause of symptoms. It simply said that the participants in the study all seemed to be experiencing symptoms of a concussion without any physical evidence of a concussion.
Huh.
And that's, over and over again, that's what people, patients have said too. They're like, it feels like I have a concussion.
But.
Somebody's just going around embassies knocking heads around. Like,
nobody remembers.
It's a serial concussioner. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We solved it. Again, another one in the books.
And it's a Russian serial
It's a Russian serial concussioner going around U.S. embassies and U.S. state buildings concussing people left and right.
But like, they're so fast.
Yeah.
And nobody can see them.
Well, they hit them hard enough that they forget.
And it's just that a they loud got noise. Concussed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they concuss the doctors. So the doctors are like, what's happening there? I don't even know. So there, we did it. Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of times it's compared to concussion symptoms. And in 2019, a group of scientific advisors to the federal government, the think tank, you're not prepared for. So, you know, they love acronyms.
They do.
This think tank is known as JASN.
Just a
scientific old noggin.
I don't know. What does it mean?
Just a silly old nose. I did not look it up.
Okay. I like just a silly old nose. I'm good with that.
But JASN, I hate that so much. The whole time I'm researching, like, JASN, stupid.
I can't believe they did that. Make me read it.
They put out a report on Havana syndrome. They analyzed, this is, buckle up. They analyzed two recordings of the quote-unquote suspicious noise that had been associated with Havana syndrome and had concluded that it was no single source could be the cause of this, and it's unlikely to be the result of any microwave technology. Instead, they believe the noise to be
toots.
Crickets.
I was going to say
you
frogs.
Were so close.
I should have. Okay.
You were so close. Specifically, the Indies short-tailed cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were quick to say the crickets obviously did not cause the illness because they're not insane. Mm-hmm. That it just created the suspicious sounds. However, the concern over these sounds could have contributed to what they believed was mass psychogenic illness.
I suppose I would buy that.
I guess. So what they're saying is, yeah, there's a suspicious chirping that you're hearing. You're already keyed up. You're so anxious. You know that in a state diplomatic role or a spy role in the CIA that you could be targeted by foreign interference. You hear that and you're so freaked out by it that you start giving yourself these symptoms.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then I suppose if you're sharing that, then the other people in similar positions to you could come down and, with the same symptoms.
You know, it is a mob mentality, sort of like that is how panic spreads, right? You know, you see it throughout time. You see satanic panic. Again, the witch trial, the Salem witch trials, other things.
other things.
Et cetera.
Everybody knows those other things. No need
you know
to explain.
The other, you know the other
no
things,
need
right?
to explain further.
Believing that 5G causes you cancer, which I will eventually want to do an episode on, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. That is actually a good example too. I believe I like it.
That is what JASN thinks. But if they wanted to be more respected, they should probably not call themselves JASN, the name of a man who is most likely to punch a hole in the wall. but with all of that there were other like studies and stuff, but nothing even conclusive enough to really include in this, but know that other non-government organizations did conduct studies. In 2019, one of the lead authors from University of Pennsylvania's original report wrote another report to JAMA, which said that based on a different study done of the brain differences in the affected diplomats, that a, quote, wholly psychogenic cause was very unlikely.
A wholly psychogenic cause is very unlikely.
Are they partially psychogenic?
So a partially psychogenic, why would they say that? Based on the brain scan, so what is different in their brains that would make us say this?
So I think it would be that there is nothing conclusively abnormal in each that was like a carryover through each of the brains. Like, yeah, there might be differences because there's differences in everybody's brain. I actually just listened to this cool thing on NPR about how Albert Einstein's brainstem was a little bit shorter.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thought that is probably not widely held throughout the psychological community is that it literally took less time for the like synapses to fire across. So he could literally just think faster. But that's neither here nor there. Whatever it is that they saw in the brain differences in the affected diplomats, they did not believe that a wholly psychogenic cause was likely.
So maybe what it is that, I suppose, what a psychogenic, like a purely psychogenic caused illness, leave no trace in the human brain?
I think it's something that, even though we can trace it all the way back to the 14th century, I don't think it's a thing that has been studied for a super long time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe.
Because I wonder then if then what they're saying is that every person, instead of there being a difference, that every person has the same anomaly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly, I think that's exactly what they're saying, is that not everybody had the same anomaly. So there was nothing physical that they could find to suggest psychogenic illness, which I guess suggests that there would be something physical you could find.
Yeah.
So that's conspiracy theory number two, that mass psychogenic illness was the cause of Havana syndrome.
That, I mean, I'm not going to lie, that feels pretty believable to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the only reason why I would think it's maybe unbelievable. Well, okay. Before I say that, I want to hear your rating.
Okay. So things that I'm thinking about with this one are, again, so like I had said, like food and like adapting to being in a different place.
Yes.
But I would also argue, I mean, like, tell me I'm the crazy one.
You're the
that
crazy
you
one.
At least All right. Well, that answers it. We're done.
Goodbye.
We've come to so many conclusions. Just this episode alone.
Yeah.
So like I cannot be the only one who is sitting here thinking I've experienced all of these symptoms.
Yeah.
Under stress, yeah. under
absolutely
X amount of circumstances, X amount of times.
And stress has physical, measurable physical ramifications to your body.
Absolutely, including the brain fog, including tension headaches,
yes.
Including a pressure build. And that is just me living my measly little
non-diplomat life.
Yeah. And I'm not, as far as you know, CIA operative.
You would be doing poorly to be on a podcast.
It was me. I am patient zero. But because of that, the psychogenic nature of something like this, like, because if, I mean, just because these are like probably some of the smartest people ever and who go through all this training, you're telling me that there's no rumor, like you get sent to a foreign,
right,
like diplomatic position,
right,
and then you go and everybody's like, well, but have you heard of Havana syndrome? Like, do you think that's going to happen to you?
And so it's already as planted. It happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
With these first three individuals, though, maybe it was just stress.
It could have
been. They're CIA operatives posing as state diplomats, an already stressful thing. Like, yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Because like sometimes, you know, I mean, in physical symptoms mimic in people often, right?
Yeah.
You yawn, I yawn.
Yeah.
If you say you have a headache, like, I feel like it's not uncommon for somebody to be like, oh, I also have a headache. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I gotta give this one, I'm a little bit thrown by the University of Pennsylvania coming back and saying that it could be something that's not purely psychogenic.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give this one a 6 out of 10.
Okay. So my biggest issues with this is, one, these are highly trained people who, yes, may have a stressful job, but are also some of the most motivated people in our government. And also, if it is a stress situation, why don't we see this more in soldiers or firefighters or police officers?
Right. Wouldn't we call it just PTSD at that point?
I guess, would we call it PTSD? Because it depends. Yeah, I guess. And also, are these other people likely to report physical issues like this?
Right. Because they could come with other things, right? Because like PTSD comes with nightmares and I don't know if there's like an actual like brain mapping that you can do where like the actual part of your brain that was damaged.
There are physical anomalies that go along with PTSD. I don't know. So I'm pretty in the middle. So I guess I'm going to say 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
I think 5 out of 10 is fair. I think that this is a simple enough explanation that it makes it very believable. Yes. But I think also we don't have enough. There's not enough evidence here to prove anything.
And that's what's so frustrating about this one.
Yeah.
And I think that this one just doesn't seem. It could cover some of the cases, but I cannot imagine it covering all of over 1,000 U.S. state diplomats, CIA operatives, all experiencing the same thing. That's where my hesitation, I feel like, comes in.
Because, I mean, that is a lot. I mean, but when you go back to, like, Satanic Panic, the witch trials, those things, I mean, that affected, obviously, over 1,000 people, but over the course of several generations, and it was all so hyper like focused in like a certain area, and this is quite literally global. Mm-hmm. I find that interesting as well. I have a third theory.
Okay.
That I think we'll bring it all together.
Okay.
And I think that all of these people I'm going to assume are older, because this takes a lifetime to become a CIA operative and be so highly trained to come out and do all these things.
They're at least in their 30s, 40s, I would say. At least, because also, if I were a government employee, I would retire as soon as my pension kicked in fully.
That's fair.
Immediately.
But they're also these highly ambitious people, so I don't know that they would.
Oh, yeah. They're wrong then. But it's for money. Well, you work clearly for money.
Work only for money. So here's my theory.
Yeah.
I think that the boomers don't know how to express their feelings and are averse to working hard. So
it could be boomers.
It could be that the boomers, it's their fault.
Yes, it could be. It could be their fault. I'm always down for that. 10 out of 10 believe that one. So my last conspiracy theory, and this one is a shorter one. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy
theory.
Yep. Hey. Do you smell toast?
So, is that a loud noise? Did you just hear that?
Oh my gosh. Havana syndrome. It's happening. They found me.
It just takes us talking about it.
Conspiracy theory number 3. Overexposure to insecticides caused Havana syndrome.
Everywhere, all over the world.
So that is the issue. So during 2016 and 2017, Cuba and the rest of the Caribbean were struggling to fight off Zika virus. Mm-hmm. Told you it's going to come back into play, and it did. Zika was spread primarily through mosquitoes. So this theory postulates that there would have been an increased exposure to insecticides and toxins used to kill mosquitoes. And in 2019, a team of Israeli and Canadian researchers, I don't know why the fuck Israel, but they got involved, published a report with the hypothesis that they studied 19 Canadian diplomats, that they were experiencing symptoms of Havana syndrome because they had been overexposed to insecticides in Cuba's attempt to quell the spread of the Zika virus. However, and listen, so that's it. That's basically it. Like, to me, it doesn't hold up to even a moderate level of scrutiny because if it was Cuban insecticides, like you said, why did diplomatic personnel in other countries start experiencing these symptoms? And then if it was insecticides in Cuba, how come it was only diplomatic personnel in Cuba? How did it magically not affect Cubans or anyone else in that area? How did it not affect the people cleaning the embassy, you know, things like that? So that's that one. It's very short, very sweet. I don't think it's very believable.
I'm going to have to give this one a 2 out of 10.
Yeah. 2 out of 10 also, I say, because maybe that did account for some of the reasons why embassy people felt sick.
Yeah.
But it does not account for enough.
I agree. Yeah. Like you said, I think that you're 100% right in asking the question, well, then why is it only documented in embassy people yeah. and not all of everybody in Cuba.
If, yeah.
Well, 'cause what you're essentially saying is that everybody was low grade poisoned.
Yes.
That and should it pop been, on a number of tests. Yes.
The entire area should have been sick. It should yeah. have been, it would have been global news. And even if you're like, well, do they get as good healthcare? They get good enough that yeah. people would have been like, wow, the entire population of Havana seems to be poisoned.
And somebody would look at their blood work and be like, there is something here, right? Like
yeah,
you would think.
I feel like, I don't know what all you screen for, but if you thought maybe insecticides was the issue, you would screen for that.
I don't know how you would screen for that.
I don't
that,
know.
But I would say, that.
Is there insecticide in there? Nope.
Did you by chance drink just a wee bit of bleach? But I would say that you would see, like you said, you would see it everywhere. You could 100% test for it in the water supply because it would be leached into the water at okay. that point.
Yeah.
And also,
it would be in the soil.
In the soil and like. These are embassy, like these are some of the most important people in the US government.
Yep.
So if they're getting their blood work done, I don't know how you would test for everything, but I feel like you would test for everything.
You would test for anything and everything. You would, yeah, these people hopefully went under the most medical scrutiny that could be provided.
Right.
And this is only, you know, at most 8 years ago. 7 years ago when they started reporting enough symptoms that they're really looking into it, I don't think that they would leave medically any stone unturned.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of goes back, that kind of bolsters a little bit the psychogenic theory.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I don't know. But the psychogenic theory also bolsters my theory that it's the boomers who are bad at being stressed out.
They don't know how to emote. Well, so conclusion, nobody really knows.
Nobody
knows what caused the Havana syndrome. Experts cannot find common ground. And to this day, we politicians, State Department officials, DOD officials, they're all complaining about the sluggish response of the government. With even some going so far as to claim government wrongdoing in how little of a response there seems to be to Havana syndrome. But my thought is, what do you want? Like, mm-hmm. It's not a real
thing.
It's not a medical diagnosis. It's how are you supposed to be like, well, a weird thing's happening.
Yeah, and it's so in the symptoms, again, are so, you could have all of those symptoms and have allergies.
Yeah.
And, you know?
I mean, to the federal government's credit, which is not something you will hear me say very often, they commissioned so many studies.
Yeah.
So many studies. Now, their own internal study in the State Department fucked up.
Yeah. There was too much secrecy.
Too much excessive secrecy. Chaos and excessive secrecy.
I'm a little upset we didn't name the podcast Chaos and Excessive Secrecy.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall from when that board was there. Because Chaos and Excessive Secrecy just seems like it would be very fun to watch.
Honestly, I agree. Like, you can imagine, like, you're the person who's, like, come to, like, get the report and you walk in.
I guess I've watched Big Brother. It can't be that different.
And you walk in and you're like, where's the report? And they're like, I'm sorry, I can't give you that.
I can't give you that report. But I'm the person you're supposed to give the report to. I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do it. But I could take you to this person.
You probably have done the sonic weaponry. I can't give you. Yeah. Which the truth is, like, I think even if that board had been less dumb, mm-hmm. That they were looking at security threats. I don't believe that this was caused by a foreign country.
I don't know. I think that, okay, they commissioned a lot of studies, mm-hmm. but from everything that we've discussed so far, it does just lead us to so many non-endings, mm-hmm. that I think that there is more to this. I think I'm going to probably end up saying that in every episode for forever.
Now, I will give you just a couple that... quick little conspiracy theories that I didn't include in this because they were so similar.
Mm-hmm.
So one is that it wasn't a sonic weapon, but it was electromagnetic energy and ultrasound waves. High-tech device shooting pulsated electromagnetic energy, ultrasound waves. However, that even though they said that you could do that with concealable devices with modest energy requirements, there's no evidence of that. Another unidentified weapon could have done it. And Canadian diplomats are actually suing the Canadian government of being slow to react. Just, I guess, the same as we were.
So it sounds like if you're talking to a group of diplomats, mm-hmm. you're like, this is a real thing. And they're not doing anything about it to protect us.
Yeah, exactly. Which they would say that. They would be more likely to believe that. And another one that I didn't cover, functional neurological disorders as the cause. However, again, the studies done over their actual physical brain studies
mm-hmm.
should probably show most neurological disorders have at least some physical evidence corresponding yeah. to it when it comes to the anatomy of the brain, apparently. but yeah, so that's basically it on Havana syndrome. I think the most intriguing part of this is that there is no answer.
Yeah.
But maybe there's no answer because there's no such thing as Havana syndrome.
But it's so interesting that, you said your latest statistic was March of 2023.
Yeah.
I mean, that's less than a year ago. Like, this yep. is something that is still happening.
It's still happening.
So, I mean, maybe something more will come out of it. Maybe out of this, if the Canadian government is being sued, maybe something more will
maybe.
Happen.
Now, and maybe it is a good example of sample bias. Because maybe we're like, why is it just these federal employees? But maybe we're looking at the intrigue of all of these federal employees and diplomats and whatnot coming forward with this. But it's just something that is widely experienced.
That's what I'm thinking. Again, and this is just me. It's like these symptoms are so universal for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very interesting that the focus is only on diplomats experiencing them, but it's like, what if you just went to like 2-3 miles out of that radius, like,
yeah.
and took a sampling of anybody at any job at any time? Yeah.
Are they also experiencing
yeah. this thing? You know, like if you had a geographical range.
Are people on work visa, U.S. citizens on work visas in other countries experiencing this that are not state officials?
Yeah. That's a great question.
People studying abroad experiencing this? You know, is it just a thing, like you said, of like our diet's so fucked up here that we go somewhere else and we're starting to eat different?
Yeah.
And
electromagnetic pulses, I feel like, would affect your heart more than it would affect your brain.
And I would
none of
the, so.
None of these have listed
heart issues. Yeah.
No heart issues.
Yeah.
Or even not just like your heart, but if like everything in your body runs on some kind of a small amount of electromagnetic or electrical pulse.
Yeah.
Why isn't anything else affected? Maybe I just don't understand what electromagnetic waves are. But
I mean, I certainly don't. but yeah, so that's, yeah, we may never know. Maybe we will know. Maybe we will get an answer and we'll do an update.
That would be so cool
that if that happened. So cool.
We need the U.S. and Canadian government to get on it so that our podcast can have a part two.
Listen, Joe Biden, if you can't give me student loan forgiveness, you can at least give me this.
If you can't give me a second term, you can at least give me this.
Yeah, you have until January. all right, but thank you everybody for listening. If you have thoughts or comments or conspiracy theories of your own that you want to submit, you can email us at whosfundingthispodcast@gmail.com. You can comment if your listening app allows that. You can just reach out to us at social media at Who's Funding This Podcast.
Yeah. Talk to us on Twitter. Talk to us on the app formerly known as Twitter. Talk to us on...
I will continue to deadname Twitter for the rest of my life.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Morally speaking.
Yes. Yeah. I won't dead name people, but I will dead name Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be on a shirt. Yes, tell us about all your chaos and excessive secrecies as well. Any and all thoughts, we'd love to hear them.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And definitely give us your rating. If you do reach out to the show, give us a rating for the show. Give us a rating for the conspiracy theory. Do you believe it? Do you not believe it?
Do not mix up those two.
Right,
if you rate us 5 stars, please, on your Apple Podcast, Spotify, whatever, you're rating the conspiracy theories, please.
Those are two different ratings.
Please, two different ratings.
Two different.
Unless you are a believer, then they can be the same one.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.